Warning! The following content may be considered controversial and disturbing for some audience. The following are conversation starters about adult themes with explicit language, which may not be suitable for children and sensitive adults. Please make a conscious decision whether or not to listen. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello. Hey, it's your girl Lena Martin here, and welcome to the Lena Show. Thanks for tuning in. This weekend has been very hectic. I've been doing CPR training for work, and it's just draining. Like, you know when you want to have, like, a time off, but, like, you don't? Because I worked all week, and then I had CPR training all the weekend, and my tad. But let's kick things off with the story that I left you all in the last... The story I left you all with in the last podcast, I will read over the story because I don't know if you guys remember it clearly, so I'm just going to read it over. And the story started with, my wife does not know that I know. I have been married for 14 years. We, quote unquote, have 3 kids, all boys, but none of them belong to me. I know this is for a fact, but my wife does not know that I know. Let me explain. Hashtag a thread. 5 years before I met my wife, I was involved in a car accident together with 2 of my friends. We were traveling from Mecamprenosaplasia to Mecamprenosaplasia, and our car skidded off the road. I was the only survivor of the accident. My friends died. I spent about 11 months at the hospital, and that left me with a condition that says I can't have children. I gave my life to Jesus Christ and became a committed Christian after the incident. In summary, I became a pastor in a local church in my community 5 years later. I met my wife in the process. I did not tell her about my condition because I was hopeful that God would heal me. 6 years into our relationship, my wife got pregnant and had, quote unquote, our first child. To be sure, I secretly went for a DNA, and it was clear I wasn't the father. I repeated the test for all 3 children, and they are all not mine. I have been living with this situation for the past 8 years, and I'm beginning to get irritated by both the children and my wife. My wife pretends to be a good woman. My wife pretends to be a good wife. She goes around preaching to young women in the church about the need to remain faithful to their partners, but she has had 3 children by another man or men. I don't know. I want to confront her, but I am confused as to how to go about the situation. I am just angry and irritated by everyone in my house lately. I feel like a total stranger in my own home. What should I do? By someone. So when I first read it, I was like, Bumbleclot, this rough bad tree jacket you wear, and the one of them look like them tight. And I was like, oh, but then I was like, maybe you should have told your wife that you couldn't have children. Maybe that should have been a conversation that you guys should have had. Like, I think that that's an important conversation. Hey, I would like to have children. I would like to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, who knows? But I think that's a conversation you should have in your relationship, whether it's a newly 6-month relationship, 3 years. Like, I feel like that conversation needs to be had before you get into the marriage stage. Before you completely commit yourself to this person, you should have a conversation saying, hey, I want children. Hey, I don't want children. Hey, I can't have children. How do you feel about doing this, 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 and this? I think that he should have told his wife. Now, at the same time, I mean, his wife went and got 3 children, like, on the side. Like, not 1, not 2, but 3. I feel like at first, maybe the first child he was okay with. He was like, you know what? This child is not my child, but I would like a child anyways. I'm okay with, you know, accepting the 1 child. I feel like he probably could have been okay with that. 2, he was like, maybe. Now he has 3 whole children that he's raising, sending them to school. They're eating off all his groceries because he had boys, you know, boys eating off. So they're eating off all his groceries. They're all demanding. They're all growing out their clothes way too damn fast. So you can't even pass down the clothes from 1 child to the other child. And now it's just getting too much and overwhelming for him. And then he's sitting down thinking, why am I stressed on my blood clots and none of them pick me and belong to me? And wondering if God's going to forgive him if he leaves his wife. That's the conclusion that I came up with. And if you didn't come up with that, you know, holla at your girl. Leave a message. Let me know what you were thinking about because I was very much confused. I'm like, I don't know who's in the wrong first. I'm like, you gave the man 3 jacket, but he never told you about his situation. So, like, I don't know. It's a lose-lose situation, apparently. And this is why young people don't go to church. I'ma just leave it there. So the other night, by the other night, I mean Friday night, I went to Walmart to buy a gift because one of my friends is pregnant. Went to a baby shower Saturday night. And so anyways, that's beyond the point. I went to Walmart, picked up 6 items at Walmart. As I'm walking to the cash register, I see that the express line is open. So I'm like, yes, finally, no one's there. I get there and this lady has a cart full of things already packed out. And I'm like, first of all, the express line is 1 to 12 items. You have the whole line is full with groceries. She's still not done unpacking. And so I'm like, why? I'm like, excuse me, is this express? And the cashier is like, yeah. I'm like, so what is she doing here with all these things? And that's what I said. I was very blunt and honest because I'm trying to figure out why I'm trying to hurry up and skedaddle out of here. And this lady has so many items in the express line. The cashier goes on to say, oh, she doesn't understand. Oh, let me say, the cashier is a white lady. And the person that's unpacking all her bumbaclot groceries is an Asian lady. So the cashier goes on to say, oh, she doesn't understand. She doesn't get it, you know. So I'm looking at her like, why are you assuming this lady don't speak English? Did you ask her? Did you say something to her? Anyways, as soon as I thought that, the Asian lady goes, oh, do you want to go in front of me? Clear as day. And I'm like looking at the cashier now like, huh, she don't understand. And then the cashier now feels dumb and she's like, oh, actually, I can't cancel it to let her go in front of you. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't cancel? I was just very frustrated with the whole situation. And I was like, these little small digressions of racism still exist. So I don't know why people are trying to act like they don't. And if you have more than 12 items, don't be in the express line. I'm willing to accept maybe up to 20 items. Any more than that, when you have full-blown groceries, go find a line, bro. And y'all be know how Walmart lines be so damn long. It doesn't matter what time of the day you go to. You can't never find one empty cashier unless them just come. Oh, anyways, that was one of the feels that I had this week. I was very upset. Oh, by the way, the baby shower was very cute. Just throwing that out there. I was on Instagram and I seen a photo. And the photo, I said Instagram? No, I wasn't on Instagram. I was on Facebook and I seen a post. And the post says, a black student at a Mississippi high school says she wants blah, 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 blah. A black student at a Mississippi high school says she wanted, was it, why do I keep wanting to say wanted? And that's not what it reads. Like, why am I struggling? You know something, Brandon Ted? Let me come again. Rewind. A black student at a Mississippi high school says she wasn't named student salutatorian. I'm not really sure if that's how you pronounce it, but I'm assuming it is. Despite having a higher grade point average than the white student selected. The school district was only desegregated in, get this, ladies and gentlemen, 2017. She told Washington Post it cost her a scholarship. So she's suing. Girl, go ahead and sue them bumbaclot. Because first and foremost, how is somewhere just being desegregated in 2017? Like, you're telling me that in that district, individuals were still going to black-only schools and white-only schools? Or even if they were kind of joined, there was a black part of the school and a white part of the school? Like, I'm confused how this is allowed, or was allowed at least, in the 20th century. Like, that is insane. That is so sad that in the past years, these things were still happening. And I'm like, this is why when these police officers kill these young men and women, it's okay. Because if you're an American, you still have segregation, like public segregation. Like, it's allowed by their law. Like, it's not something that is beyond, it's not something that people are just creating. Like, it's a law-bound thing that there was segregation. That is so sad. I believe that she should sue them for everything, for stress, headache, pain, for I think she lost scholarships too. So she did lose scholarships. For all her scholarship money that she lost, for everything, sue the Ross Alton and Bumbaclot, because that is just disgusting. Utterly disgusting. I was very appalled when I read that. But then it didn't surprise me because, well, it's America and they have their own little woos and issues and pains and such. Since I was at first aid today, well, this weekend. So I had first aid training, CPR and first aid training, Saturday, Sunday from 9 to 5. I know, it's really, really long. And I was very, very stressed out about it. I was wondering how I was going to get through it all. Then I go to first aid and training. I get there on time. And sitting down in front of me is this man with a big old belly. And his buttons look like they're about to pop off and catch me in my eye. And I was like, God, you tested me. You trying to figure out if I'm going to be able to pay attention. You tested me to see if I will be able to understand and grasp the concept that this man is talking about looking like this. And I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with being big because I'm big. But when I tell y'all that the buttons looked like they were fighting each other and I was very nervous for myself when I started the class. Anyways, the class went on. The instructor was really, really cool. His name is Sam. Everything was literally from his memory. Like, it was straight memory. There was no book, no nothing. Everything was straight from his memory. And I learned a lot. And it was very impressive. There was, you know, entertaining points. We talked about life issues, first world problems, third world problems, situations to, you know, change how children are brought up. And we learned a lot about first aid and CPR. So I thought it was a win-win. I did enjoy myself. So I thought I would share with you all a few things that I feel like are important that I think people overlook. And especially now that, you know, baby boomers are getting older, there's a lot of things that we need to look for. And also, not just baby boomers, but there's so many stressors in the world and people are having trouble managing their stress that it may lead to, you know, some kind of health issue or health crisis. So I do think that there's signs that we all need to look for and think about ways that we could help the individuals in our life, and save a life. So, a heart attack occurs when blood flow is blocked to the heart. And the signs are nausea, shortness, cold sweat, dizziness. But not all signs are the same. So, not everybody's gonna have the same type of heart attack. It is recommended that, you know, the individual would take an aspirin, and you wouldn't give someone an aspirin if you, you know, found them on the road and you feel like they're having a heart attack. You would just call 911. But if you're at home and, you know, you support this individual all the time and you have aspirin at your house for this reason, I would say, you know, go ahead. But if you're on the road, don't give someone an aspirin that they don't have on them. Just call 911, stay with that person, you know, check their vital signs. I'm sure that the EMS who are on the phone with you will tell you, you know, exactly what to do to make sure that, you know, if they start foaming at the mouth or etc., how to place them on their side, kind of, I wouldn't say in a fetal position, but place them on their side, where they're safe if they are foaming or anything like that. A stroke is a brain attack. I didn't know the difference between a heart attack and a stroke. Like, I knew they were different. I just thought one was kind of like a milder case and one was like worst case kind of a thing. But a stroke is actually a brain attack caused by a lack of blood flow and oxygen to the brain. And a few signs for a stroke are kind of more easier to figure out. And they're sudden numbness, confusion, trouble seeing, loss of balance. And this usually happens to one side of one's body. If there is paralysis, you're supposed to put the person on their good side. So the part that is not paralyzed, you place them on that side. And you definitely call 911 and you stick with that person and then follow whatever EMS tells you to do. Those are the two main concerns that I think that, you know, one might be introduced to, especially as we get older, as our family members get older. Another thing, a lot of us, especially in the Black community, have diabetes or know someone that has diabetes or is at risk for diabetes. And I'm not sure if everybody knows about the diabetic shock, which is usually if your blood level is way too high or way too low. And the signs for that are kind of a little more confusing, but you might just be able to be like, oh, hey, maybe this is it. The person becomes shaky, they start sweating, they might be hungry, but they might have nausea, dizziness. And a simple way to figure out if it is diabetes shock or if they are going into a diabetic shock is to give that person sugar. And you're like, oh, but if their blood pressure is too high, giving them sugar might make it worse. And it's like, no, it's not gonna make it any worse than where it's at, because if it's already that bad, you might bring it up half a level. Like, it's not gonna be something where that person is gonna die faster because you gave them 3 Skittles in their mouth to see if they'd feel better. I did say Skittles, like candy, juice. It's not recommended to give coffee or alcohol because those things dilute, so it doesn't make any sense. It's counterproductive. So try to give them usually like a juice or some kind of like sweet candy or something. See what happens. If the blood pressure goes down, awesome. Still call 911 or go to the hospital. If this is someone that you regularly support, you know, call EMS and figure out what to do then, because their blood levels could go down again. So you wouldn't want that to happen. And if nothing happens, if nothing gets better, then you know that it's too high. And honestly, there's nothing you can do except for what? Call 911 and wait for an ambulance. those are just a few things that I thought that, you know, my Black community needs to know, my Black family, because people overlook these things, and they're not, and they shouldn't be overlooked. And if you could save a life, save a life. Remember to call 911, and the number for 911 is, get this, you dial 9, then you dial 1, and then you dial 1. And when you call, they will, you know, ask you what your emergency is. You tell them your emergency, be as descriptive as possible. And oh, one more thing, always know your location. So know where you are and the address you're staying at. So that way you can, when you do call 911, they're like, oh, what's your location? See, I'm at my friend's house and I don't know where she lives. And then you have to go find, you know, a piece of mail or something. So try to have an address handy, or at least know the address of the person you're visiting. Because a lot of the time, I know I'm like this. I know how to get to somebody's house, but I don't remember where they actually live or what street they live on. I just know how to get there. So try to, you know where people live, where your friends live and whatnot, family members, and, you know, memorize, you know, important numbers. Because you never know. Simple things like this may end up saving a life. That is all for today. Thank you for listening. Later. Peace and love.